We thank God today, for He is an awesome God. Amen. Youth church open today. Is youth church open today? Youth church is open today. Amen. Amen. We bless God for a youth church. Amen. Excited to be. See so many of our beautiful youth. Amen. Got my granddaughter in the house from Chicago today. Amen. So I'm excited to be in the house. From Illinois, I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Good to see everybody in the house today. Won't be before you long today. I know I say that every Sunday, but it's Resurrection Sunday, amen. So I don't want to rush anything. Amen. Kevin and I were in the back today and talking about glasses, amen. Remember when you used to just wear them, just try to look good, amen. I can't cut on my hair without my glasses, amen. We bless God. Listen, today I want to talk to you from the topic, He didn't call it off. He didn't call it off. Today, all over the world, Christians have gathered together to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And it's not just about what he did, but also why he did what he did. It's baffling, mind-blowing, and if I'm just being real, downright crazy, the amount of love, the type of love that he exemplified for us by what he went through for us on the cross. In fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 8, the Apostle Paul puts it like this: But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You should have just lost your mind right there, amen. While you was in the club, he was dying for us. Let me just go and be real. While we was in the club, amen, he was dying for us. While we was at the hotel, motel, say what? Thank you. He was dying for us. Think about that for a second. He was willing to die for a people that had not yet chose him. Willing to die for a people that had not yet chose him. And what's even more incredible to me is that he was willing to die for a people he knew would not choose him. As well as a people that have yet to choose him. And here's the hit. He knew that some wouldn't choose him, even after all he went through on the cross. But not even that would diminish his love for us. While I was in prison, I read a book entitled The Divine Revelations of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter. who was not just an author, but was also, thank you, an international evangelist who was well known and respected in the Christian community. In this book, Divine Revelations of Hell, she explains how Jesus came to her while she was sleeping for 3 nights in a row. And the first night, he explained to her that he was going to take her to hell so that she could experience it. And after the 3 days were done, he wanted her to write a book about what she had seen and experienced. He wanted her to write about it because he knew that she was highly respected in the earthen realm and many would believe her. She said that every night he took her there, that Jesus would weep. Every night that they went to hell, Jesus would actually, she couldn't see him, but she could see the tears. She could see the tears as he would weep. He would cry for the people in hell as they would beg him for another chance. They promised that they would serve him forever. And she asked him why he was crying, and his response was this. She said, I love them, and though I can't release them. And though I can't release them. I can't, because if I did that, it would make me a lie and it would destroy everything. The point I want you to catch that even in this situation, Jesus still loves so deeply. Have you ever had someone love you so deeply that no matter what you did, they would forgive you? And not just forgive you, but not bring it up when you did that, and when you did something, you know, not bring up what you've done in the past every now and again when you got on their nerves. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that don't keep score? Don't get me wrong, he's not and will never be okay with sin, but because he loves us and because he understands, he's patient. Far more patient than you and I would be or have been. Isn't it amazing that we can be so impatient with people who we didn't die for, but Jesus yet is so patient for people, us, that he did die for? Real quickly, I would like to show you scripturally how he's patient and understanding with us. And the reason that I'm doing this is because I don't feel the usual Resurrection Sunday rap is necessary today. So I'm not going to hoop, and I'm not going to entertain you. You know, I'm not going to, you know, do all of that. But my mission and agenda here today is to do my best to show you and share with you the love that he has for us. And to be honest, I nor anyone truly understands the depth of his love for us. But I hope that you will get what I'm trying to say or trying to convey. A lot of people in the world believe that because they have been foul for a while now, and even for what seems like they've been winning in life, though they aren't right with God, they've begun to believe that Jesus coming back is just loose rap. That maybe there will be no day when we will be judged for our unbelief. But let me show you what Jesus said on the matter in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. In the Bible, you heard the Messiah saying, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to help you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Verse number 8. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin," watch this, "because they did not believe in me." Did you see verse 9? The sin is that they didn't believe. And since they didn't believe, they didn't follow him. Now, here's what's amazing about that. We will follow people that we know ain't right. We will follow them in business. We will follow them in relationships, and I can prove it. How many people in here have been in relationships where they knew that the person they was with wasn't right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Let's take it deeper. How many of us in here have been in relationships with people that before we was in the relationship with them, we knew they wasn't right? But it looks so good. We can take it even deeper than that. How many was in relationships when you figured out that they wasn't right, even after you really already knew they wasn't right, you stayed in it for a minute? Because you had the secret sauce that was going to make folk act like they had some home training. Amen? And the end result was you stressed out, half crazy, talking about you ain't never going to love again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, if you knew they was foul and you stayed with them, you were following their lead and them not following yours. I'll leave that right there. Jesus said, the sin is that they didn't believe, and since they didn't believe, they didn't follow him. And in the kingdom court of law, that's a crime. And what happens when you are guilty of a crime? What happens? You get convicted. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, one of his functions will be to convict. And what is most basic, the most basic sin in the world are we guilty of? What's the most basic sin that we're guilty of? Jesus specifies that it is unbelief. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is at work in the world because they believe not in Christ. But once a person responds to the Spirit's conviction and turns to faith in Christ, the other sins he or she practiced will be taken care of. It is the sin of unbelief, a refusal to trust Jesus on the issue. Some people don't trust Jesus in relationships because they haven't had a relationship to work out. Haven't seen a relationship work out, amen? So we can't stay faithful to what his word is because, you know, tall, dark, handsome, got some money, car's nice, been on a job for a few years. We don't want to miss this. In fact, this has to be Jesus. Hey, man. Thick, can cook, and can read, and got a good sense of humor. Oh, this has got to be Jesus. Ain't nobody got time to be waiting. Shoot, there's too many people out here look better than me that won't wait. I ain't got time to be waiting. Amen. You see the lack of faith in that? Yeah. Yeah. We don't trust him with our finances. Amen. So we work 20 and 30 hours overtime a week, literally killing ourselves to sustain what you didn't get on your own. So if he didn't need you to give it to you, he don't need you to keep it. He don't need you killing yourself every week, all week long. Amen? But if we had the faith in God, see, we wouldn't work all of that overtime because we understand that he's the great way maker. Lord, have mercy. But once a person responds to the Spirit, the Spirit's conviction in terms of faith in Christ, like I said before, the other sins they practice will be taken care of because we understand that faith, the refusal to trust Jesus, is an issue. Here's two scriptural points to show that he's patient. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the New Living Translation, the Bible says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. As some people think, no, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Can we read that again, especially that first part? That was a hitter, wasn't it? The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some would think. Just because you've been getting away with it don't mean you're going to get away with it. Just because you made your point don't mean you ain't got a point on the day of judgment that you're going to have to prove. He is being patient for whose sake? Amen. Let's do that again on three. Oh, for whose sake? Yeah. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. See, what I want you to see is that God isn't lying. He just loves us. He's not okay with He's not okay with it when we are not living right. He's just patient because he loves us. And we know that he understands us because he says in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse number 15, the New Living Translation says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Now I want to show you that same verse in the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 in the Amplified, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations." It says he understands. "But one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect, as we are, yet without committing any sin." Do you know why that's so important? Because when Jesus walked the earth, he was 100% man, 100% God. And you ought to be happy. Some people say he was only 50% man and 50% God. But if that was the case, only 50% of your problems could you be delivered from. So he was 100% man when he walked the earth. And the Bible says, we just read, he knew every temptation that we struggle with. But on the strength that he was a man, he was also the great example, because even though he struggled with, he was tempted by it. He says, I know why you like it. I know why you say yes to it when you should say no. I understand all of that, but the reality is I'm still going to say no to it. So he gave us this great example that even though we are tempted beyond sometimes what it feels like, something that we can't come from out under, he says, yes, you can, because I did. And when I did it, I was all man. I was 100% man. So some of you would say, well, you said it was 100% God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And ye too are little gods if you have the Holy Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit, so you can say no to whatever Jesus said no to. You understand what I'm saying to you? So what are you saying, Pastor? We are without excuse with how we live our lives. Amen? Amen. Suffer not the little children. Amen. Beautiful baby. He understands us. And what I'm trying to tell you is this: Jesus we rock with, he understands us totally. He knows exactly how it feels to be human, so he understands the battles that we deal with, so he's patient and loving. See, if he didn't understand, it probably would have been over a long time ago. But on the strength that he came down here and made himself of no robbery, of no reputation, found it not robbery to be equal with man. You understand what I'm saying to you? He understands. Here's the verse that God put on my heart for Resurrection Sunday. I know y'all were saying, he ain't going to do no Resurrection Sunday verses. Here they are, and then we out. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 48, verses 48 through 54. I'm going to read those first verses through the New Living Translation. It says, "The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." Y'all better be careful about who you letting kiss on you. All those kisses don't symbolize love. Some of them symbolize betrayal. Amen. Some of those kisses symbolize bad credit scores 6 months later. Repossession on the car. And yeah, you better be careful about them kisses. Verse number 49, "So Judas came straight to Jesus. 'Greetings, Rabbi,' he exclaimed, and gave him a kiss. And Jesus said, 'My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for.' Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. 'Put away your sword,' Jesus told him. 'Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could have,'" watch this, and I want you to hear this right here. "'Don't you realize that I could have asked my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did that, would the scriptures be fulfilled that described what must happen now? Here's the part I want you to catch in 53 where Jesus says to Peter, don't you realize I could have asked my Father for thousands of angels to protect us? And he would send them instantly. Hold on now. Let me tell you why that's deep. Because in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44, New King James Version, y'all thought y'all wasn't going to get no Easter scriptures. Luke 22, verses 39 through 44, it says, I'm going to show you why this is deep, why verse number 53 was so deep. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them for about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, my will, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat become like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. His sweat was like blood falling down to the ground. The Bible says that he was in agony. And the reason he was going through it was because he knew what was on the way. He knew what he was about to go through. In fact, grandson, this was what he was about to go through. I think we've had a change of people up there, so I don't know. Ashley, well, this is what he was about to go through. You got it up there? I thought we had it right there. He's in the youth room. That's all right. So just play it so it can be heard. I'll take the. Anybody ever seen a fight, you know what a whooping is. This is a man being beaten. I actually want you to see this because sound sometimes doesn't give you the exact vision that I'm looking for. Teenagers. Amen. Bless God for them. Started from the beginning. There we go. And just when you thought it was over, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and that he would send them? You can cut it off. Don't you realize? Hit the pause button. Go get the nephew. Go get nephew. For the technical difficulties, amen. Thank you. So you saw the beating, and I don't know about you, but every time I see the beating, all I can think about is that he said, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly. And then he goes on and he says, but if I did that, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that described what must happen now? So when we talk about the nails, that was the thorns that was in his side, I mean in his head, I want you to see the length of those thorns that's in that reef. A more accurate description of the thorns would be about that long. About that long. Going into his head. All around his head. Missing none of his, the crown of his head. And they didn't just place it on his head like, they slammed it into his head. King of the Jews. They slammed it into his head. The nails, I don't know if you have a picture of the nails we sent. The nails that sit beside the reef are nowhere near the size of the nails that went in him, in his hands. They were the size of railroad train stakes that went inside of his hands. And Jesus says, as Peter is slicing the ear off of one of the soldiers, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us? When the reality is, he should have said, to protect me, because he's the only one who went through it. Amen. Could have sent thousands of angels to protect me, but I'm more concerned with that prophecy is fulfilled. I'm more concerned. I'll go through this so that in 2025, they'll have a right at the tree of life. I'll go through this so that heroin doesn't take every last one of them. I'll go through this so that every teenager don't die at 16 and 17 and 18 years old. I'll go through this so that mine, those that call on me, those that believe on me, will have a right at the tree of life. Is it anybody in the building happy that he didn't call it off? That he didn't call it off? So I'm glad you're happy, but my next question is, does your lifestyle reflect you appreciate the fact that he didn't call it off? Does your lifestyle reflect that? The Bible says walk in a way that is worthy of him. You saw it. Would any of you taking a whooping like that for the person next to you? Oh, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I know I would have. Some of us won't co-sign for our kids' cars. You mean tell me you're going to put your life on the line? You're going to put your body through that, but you won't put your credit through that? Come on. You saw, and here's what Mel Gibson, the creator and the producer of the movie, said. He said, we tried our best to get as close to the beating scenes as we could, but we know that we were nowhere near it. Historically, we understand that we was nowhere near the amount of abuse that this man took. So look at what you've seen and multiply that times 100. Because it was the worst beating in the history of humanity. No one has ever, will ever, take a beating like the one that he took. All on the strength of me and you. See, some of you might have realized I did this sermon last year. And I did this sermon this year on purpose because as I was preparing for this year, the Lord said, y'all remember what I told you about the ghetto theologian Rakim? You remember what he said, Rakim said? He said they was asking me how come the album was straight. I was giving you time. He said they was asking me how come the album was late. I was giving you time to get the last one straight. See, from Resurrection Sunday last year to this Resurrection Sunday, how much has really changed about your life? Has it changed enough to personify the beating that Jesus took? Has it changed to the point to where people see you and be like, yo, I know you, but you are not the same person that I used to know. You are somebody totally different. What happened? And you said, I was at a service one day and I actually saw how Jesus was beaten. And I found out that the maker of the movie and the producer of the movie said, he said, take that beating and times 100. And I just felt like if I was going to call myself God's son, if I was going to call myself a Christian, then it was time that I started walking worthy of that call. Has anybody said that to you over the last year? You've changed so much that I don't even know who you are anymore. That's what today is supposed to do. And to be quite honest, every day should be Resurrection Day. Every day we should walk worthy, not just because we got caught up in a video clip, a 4-minute video clip, but every day we should be walking like we appreciate the fact that he didn't call it off. I don't have a hoop in my spirit because ain't nothing entertaining about this. This day changed all of humanity. You understand what I'm saying to you? On this day, after all you seen him take, and you seen him take a very little bit, you didn't see nothing major. I promise you, it got way worse than that. But on this day, he got up from all of that. And he didn't get up to prove a point. Lord, have mercy. He didn't get up to show off. He didn't get up to say, y'all ain't do nothing to me. No, he got up for you. He got up for everything that just marched up those steps and marched down those steps. He got up. Death couldn't hold him. They found the grave. When they came and looked at the tomb, they said, where is the tomb was moved. Amen. The stone was moved. And then when they went in the tomb, they found no Jesus. Now, this is something that's been dealing with me for about 4 years, and I've never shared it, but I'm going to share it today. And I might mess it all up, so just pray for me. So I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking, he's taking this beating for hours. Then they drag him off. You've seen how they drug him off. They just drag him off. And what you don't understand is they gave him more affliction. They gave him more torture when they got him to where he was going. I told you last week they was yanking at his beard, which was significant because to pull in that culture at that time, to yank a man's beard was to take his identity. So not only have you physically tortured this man, now you've put him in a position to where to say, and you don't even know who you are. Son of who? The devil is a lie. And then they had him up on the tree. And they paint this real nice picture of him, you know, because his mama was out there. You seen the little lady that was out there that had the tears rolling out? That was his mama. They did this in front of his mama. Let me tell you something. I've had DEA kick in my door, and the first thing I holler is, mama, go on in the back. I don't want you to see us. They put this little bitty towel on him for the pictures, so it looks somewhat, you know, decent, but they hung this man naked in front of everybody, in front of his mama, bleeding profusely, dying on a cross. But on Sunday, here's what gets me. Ooh-wee. But on Sunday, here's what gets me. He has literally, Sonia, you're in the medical field. He has died. This isn't a story. This isn't something, you know, we're just making up. We ain't trying to exaggerate the moment or any of that. He has literally died. Flatline. It is over. But this is how powerful his love is for you. That though he had all of the wounds that he had to deal with, and we're talking about hemorrhaging from just about every part of his body, and this is what he does. He gets, I'm just trying to imagine, just if I just woke up, right? If I just woke up, didn't die, just was, let me tell you something. One time I got jumped by five guys, and not the burger stand. I got jumped by five guys at Platinum. No. Camelot West, thank you. You remember? Yeah, Camelot West beat me within an inch of my life. You understand what I'm saying to you? By the time that they got me to the hospital and I woke up, all I said was, oh, this hurts. Every part of me hurts. I didn't die. I was just unconscious for a while. You understand what I'm saying to you? And when I woke up, I'm talking about I didn't want to move nothing. I didn't want to breathe. You understand what I'm saying? It hurt to breathe. It was so many wounds on my face and so many wounds on me, period. It hurt to breathe. You understand what I'm saying to you? And what I'm trying to figure out is how Jesus, he actually dies. And his wounds is a million times a million worse than mine. And he actually, I want you to understand how much he loved you, that he loves you, that through all of that, I wish I had a doctor that could come up here and just explain everything that his body was actually going through, because his body went through crazy amounts of torture, but not just that, shock. I'm talking about his body went through, this man went through everything, but on the strength of that, he still gets up. So the next time somebody tell you, you ain't worth nothing. I was so worth something that somebody who was dead for 3 days got up on the third. And not only did he get up, he got up with all power in his hands. And on the strength that he got, the hands that they put them nails in, he held power in. You understand what I'm saying to you? And on the strength that he got up, can I just go ahead and tell you, he made it possible for you to get up. I don't care what type of desolate situation you might find yourself in right now. On the strength that Jesus got up, you can get up too. Lord, have mercy. Play the soft music, buddy. I'm done. I got a question for you. It's last week's question. Last week, I asked you a question all over the room, and I'm going to ask it again today because I think now that you've seen the footage, maybe you get it a little more. And the question that I ask is he your king? Tell me yes so quickly, because if he's your king, then that means that he's your ruler, and that means that you do what he says. You keep his commandments. In fact, he said on his word, he said, you'll know those that love me because they keep my commandments. I got a question. For 2 weeks now, we've been talking about how Jesus has been going through it, the triumphal entry and all, and then now the cross. And I just want to ask you, is he your king? Is he your Lord? Because it's real easy right now to go, he sure is. But in the Bible, there's a verse that says, for him I live and for him I die. Is that what you stand on today? Are you willing to give anybody the deuces on the strength of Jesus? Would you walk away from anything on the strength of Jesus? Is he your king? And see, you can tell me whatever I want to hear, but the reality is, you know you. You know you better than I do. And more importantly, Jesus knows you. And he knows where you are in your heart. He's not concerned. He said, in fact, he's so not concerned with your lips. He said, with your lips you worship me, but your heart is far from me. Where is your heart today? I really want to know. I really want you to investigate your ends. Don't look to the person next to you. I want you to investigate you. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to him? It always amazes me Minister, when people will, they'll get mad because somebody played on them, but they don't mind playing on Jesus. Are you faithful today? Is he your king? Listen, if we have anybody in the building that has not given themselves over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and today's the day that you want to give your life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come down. The most greatest invitation that you can ever receive is an invitation to the kingdom. It's bigger than an invitation to the White House. It's bigger than an invitation to Disney World. It's a chance to spend time with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. If there's anybody in the building that says, listen, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus, but since I gave my life to Jesus, I've been a little suspect. People wouldn't necessarily know that I'm saved for real. And today is the day that I'd like to rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you today, we offer you the invitation to come down. Yeah. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Ain't no shame in falling. The shame is just when you decide to stay down. Amen. So if we have anyone today that says, today I'd like to rededicate my life to Christ, we offer you the invitation to come forward.